Brethren, as we approach the end of each work week, not the end of the age, but the end of each work week, hopefully our thoughts are focused, at least some, on preparing ourselves for the weekly Sabbath day of rest that awaits us at the end of each week. You know, on the sixth day, as the sun lowers itself at the end of that day and evening begins, are we as God's people ready to engage God on His Sabbath? Are we prepared and very appreciative of the seventh day that God has created and blessed and set apart for each of us? You know, God could have worked out His plan somehow with no Sabbath day. Very different than what we could, you know, ever imagine. But He's the Creator. He could have planned salvation in whatever form or fashion He wanted. But He chose, as part of His creation and plan, a Sabbath. Weekly Sabbaths, annual Sabbaths. And He did so for man. In fact, in Mark chapter 2, Christ said, "The Sabbath was created for man, for us, for you and me, not man for the Sabbath." Very important point. Sabbath was created for our benefit. And we'll talk more on that later. To help us better enjoy the fourth commandment, and I assume you know what the fourth commandment is, I believe a day or two before the Sabbath is a good time to stop and consider and plan our needs for holy time with God. A day or two before the Sabbath. It's a good time to also prepare ourselves for church and the worship of God that will soon be approaching. The Sabbath is a time for rest and rejuvenation of body and mind. It's a time to give ourselves to God and get away from and let go of worldly concerns. Now, that's very easy to say, but somewhat hard to do at times. Without some planning, though, the Sabbath can easily become just a physical day of leisure, of idleness, with very little spiritual growth. I want to talk this morning about the Sabbath day. And more particularly about what's been called the preparation day to the Sabbath. How do you and I prepare ourselves each week to enter into this special time of fellowship with God? And it is a special time. I want to discuss this subject of preparation and confirm and acknowledge the benefit that it has in our lives, a preparation principle. And my side purpose is to remind us that the Sabbath has great value to us. And it's our prime channel of coming before God and worshiping God. I've entitled this message, Preparing for the Sabbath. Preparing for the Sabbath. Now, to begin with, it's good for us to view the term preparation day, as a Christian principle, as a best practice with value, and not as a direct commandment from God. There is no explicit law to observe a preparation day. But its use and custom is found in the Bible. The term preparation day is referred to 6 times in the New Testament. The Greek word used in these 6 times means to make ready. To make ready. In each of these 6 times, the reference is not to a Friday preparation day, but to the preparation day before the annual Sabbath of the first day of unleavened bread. That's interesting. It was a time when the preparation day is mentioned in the New Testament. It was a time when leaven was to be removed from the homes of the people. And it was specifically the time of the Passover and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ was arrested, tried, convicted, crucified, and buried on the preparation day prior to the High Day Festival of Unleavened Bread. Let's read a couple of these references of the preparation day. Let's turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. So when Jesus, and at this time he was on the cross, had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He died. Verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him, Christ. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. So this high day Sabbath was the first day of unleavened bread, which in 31 AD fell on a Thursday. Christ was crucified on a Wednesday afternoon prior to the high day on Thursday. The Jews were preparing themselves on this Wednesday afternoon because they knew the holy day was approaching, and they did not want crucified bodies to be on the cross on the annual Sabbath. Another reference to this same time period is Mark chapter 15. Again, all 6 references of preparation day refer to this same time period. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. Verse 42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Again, this was the day before the high day Sabbath of the crucifixion week. Verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Verse 46, then he bought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewed out of the rock, and wrote a stone against the door of the tomb. This needed to be done. The desire for this to be done prior to the holy day. it was done on the preparation day of the annual Sabbath. During the time of Jesus, the people made use of a preparation day before the Sabbath. Over time, it had been developed into a good practice. I don't know when it was officially developed and when it came on the scene. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly. But the people of God at the time had value, saw value in a preparation day, and it allowed them to be able to keep the Sabbath more uncluttered, with more focus on the holy day. And we today can borrow from that same tradition and attempt to better plan our lives as we enter into God's Sabbath each week or on each annual holy day. It's a principle. It's something that is a good practice. It has value. And if we use it, we can enjoy the Sabbath better. Now, if we go back to the book of Exodus, we can see an early link to this principle of preparation. And at this time, it was gathering the bread of manna that was given to the people of Israel by God. So let's notice that in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, verse 22. Verse 22. So it was on the sixth day, that is a Friday, that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Verse 23. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today," that means on Friday, "and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning," until Sabbath morning. "So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it." Now, this was very different than what happened on the other days of the week. If any manna was saved over, let's say, from a Sunday through a Thursday gathering, daily gathering, the manna didn't last till the next day. It began to smell. It became wormy. Had no value. Verse 25. "Then Moses said, 'Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none.'" So God didn't supply it on his holy day. The people had to gather twice the amount on Friday. And God performed a miracle, and the manna was okay overnight, and they could eat it the next day on the Sabbath. The sixth day was a day, at this time for the Israelites, the sixth day was a day to plan, you see. Take some action and make provision for food different than the other days of the week. It was a means to ensure the people were ready for the approaching Sabbath. They had to know, well, this is the sixth day. Oh, yeah, I better gather twice as much today. So they had to take some action. They had to prepare themselves. And we too should be ready to worship God in spirit free from the physical needs of life as the Sabbath day, as each Sabbath day begins. Our preparation should already be over. You see? We don't wait till after the Sabbath day begins to say, oh yeah, I've got to do that, I've got to do this, I've got six other things I've got to get done here before I go to bed. That's not using the principle properly. But to make preparation, to make this happen in your life, it does take some action. You know, we have to think about, we have to arrange ourselves to be ready for the Sabbath. And ideally, of course, in a perfect world, and how many of us are perfect? Could you raise your hand if you're perfect out there? You know, to be ultimately prepared in all areas of our life, it would mean, you know, include having the house all ready, our food all ready, the kids all ready, ourselves all ready. To truly clear our minds of the past week, of the physical, ready to focus ourselves on God and His plan of salvation for our lives. See, that takes a lot of effort to do that. I mean, there's a physical area there, and then there's a mental, spiritual area there. It's easier probably to be prepared physically, but are we prepared mentally? And since most of us are still in Exodus, let's take some time and read the fourth commandment that God gave to our ancestors, that He gave to us, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Let's remind ourselves what God codified here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember, the very first word, remember. Now, you know, don't forget it, but remember. And to remember something in itself takes some planning, doesn't it? How do you remember to go do an errand 2 weeks from now? You've got to remember it. You've got to put it on a calendar. You've got to do something to remember. And God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Prime commandment. No work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant. And I'm sure we have a lot of those around the house helping us. Nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Another prime command, rest. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. It's just not a regular old day. Very special day. And down through time, man has tried to supplant it with another day. You can't do that. You can't take a day that God has hallowed and do away with it and make another day somewhat holy. The seventh day has God's blessing and holiness in it. And for us to remember it and keep it holy, again, takes some action, some preparation. It takes living a seven-day weekly cycle. Having in your mind 7 days a week and looking forward ahead throughout the week and preparing ourselves for that final seventh day. You know, most of us probably can't really isolate and say, okay, the sixth day is the only day I'm going to worry about preparation. That usually doesn't work today. Sometimes you have to go 2 days out, 3 days out, and think about. So our goal throughout the whole week is to have the mindset that, whoa, this week ends on the seventh day, and I have to prepare for that seventh day. So it may be Monday or Tuesday that you need to do something to get ready for that seventh day. Or should I say that we need to do something? I'm right here with all of you. The Sabbath brings value to us. It provides us physical and spiritual rest. And it provides extra time and fellowship with God and with His people. Now, have you ever thought that most of us would have never come to know each other outside of God? Outside of even His Sabbath. You know, if it wasn't for God and His Sabbath, I wouldn't know, I don't know anyone in here. God is responsible for bringing us together as part of His body, His one body. We would never have probably crossed paths. Now, if you grew up in a family, of course, that's an exception. But if you did not grow up in a church family, we would probably have never crossed paths. God brought us together, and the Sabbath was the tool and the instrument that we became aware of each other. Because one day, we all showed up for the first time in church. And you met all these other people, and you eventually got to know them. So there's value in God's Sabbath. He uses it in our lives. He uses it in many, many ways to perfect us. And we need to appreciate the holiness of God's Sabbath. It's a time of rest, physically and spiritually. And yet it's pretty easy for us to run to and fro for 6 days and not put the brakes on and not adequately slow down and give ourselves enough time to switch gears as the sun begins to set on the sixth day. You know, I mean, we can get so caught up in life, and that's part of our carnal nature. That's what we've been given, and that's one of the things we have to overcome, is to slow down and prepare during the 7 days for the seventh day, during the earlier 6 days, that is. So at some point in time before the seventh day, we need to ask ourselves, does the car have enough gas to worship God, to be holy on the Sabbath, so we can get to church? Do we have clean dress clothes for church? Is there adequate food in the refrigerator and the cupboard? You know, God expects us to remember the Sabbath day and to gather a double portion of manna, spiritually speaking, so that we have what we physically need for the Sabbath, to gather that double portion on the sixth day or the fifth day, so we'll have what we need to enjoy our spiritual rest on the seventh day. I mean, all this is logical. I think we all understand this. So, now I want to present 4 very basic principles or behaviors of Sabbath keeping. We've already talked about almost all of these already, but I just want to separate them out into four principles. And there's probably many more, several more. These are 4 very, very basic that we should have well in mind in our preparation each week for the Sabbath. You say, if I had 16 principles, you probably couldn't remember all 16. I couldn't remember all 16. But four, maybe we can remember four. Every week, preparing for the Sabbath. Number one, the seventh day is not a day to work on. Okay, we got that one down. It's not a day to work on. It's not a day to go to your job site and work and receive compensation. Now, even though you could really use the money, and who doesn't, you know, could use some extra money today, that's besides the point. See, that doesn't enter into the equation. That's not in the commandment. It's not a day to work on. It's not a day to go out and remodel the house, to do heavy work. It's set aside for something very special. It's a day to focus on the spiritual side of life. When would we ever do that if God hadn't have commanded us to do it? You see, our carnal nature would never set aside a day for God if our carnal nature even allowed us to believe in a God. So the Sabbath is a day to be kept holy by worshiping God and doing good to others. Christ gave us an example of healing on the Sabbath, which upset greatly the Pharisees. But it was doing good. It was giving freedom from misery for those who were healed. The Sabbath command requires us to live by faith. We may not have very much money in the bank, so we have to exercise faith and not working on the Sabbath. Point number two, the seventh day is a day to rest on. Okay, I think we've got that one down. To rest on, both physically and spiritually. Now, this doesn't mean that we stay in bed all day, but that we change our routine and our emphasis from what it is from the other 6 days of the week. We cease from doing our own weekly, worldly pleasure by focusing on the one that created us. God created us. He gave us the rules of life. He says, obey these rules and I'll give you eternal life, not just the physical life you have right now. Now, I may have mentioned this before, but just briefly, I'll mention it again. When God began to call me, I had to come to understand how to keep the Sabbath day. I had no clue how to keep the Sabbath day. I understood going to church on Sunday. I did that. But when God truly comes into your life and wipes your mind clean, and you discover this whole world of truth out there that's somewhat been hidden in your Bible, and you come to see it, and that the Sabbath day should be kept, well, how do you keep the Sabbath? And I had no one that I knew. I had the literature in my hand, and I knew it came from California. California. I knew nothing of a church. I knew nobody else in the church. I didn't know that there was a church. So how do you keep the Sabbath? Well, I knew I could see and read the literature that I don't work, and I don't work. So, and that I needed to rest. So if I stayed in bed all day, I could keep that very good. I mean, I could just, and that's what I actually did. I kept my pajamas on and stayed in bed most of the day. Now, my mom didn't like that at all. You know, I was a teenager at the time, and she had no, she didn't favor whatsoever what I was doing, and from a religious standpoint, you know. I was being deceived by some wild, crazy radio evangelist, you know. So in my ignorance and being a very young babe in Christ, I decided, well, I have to know, you know. So you stay in bed all day. And that is a good way to keep the Sabbath. No, that's not the good way to keep the Sabbath. Because there's other points. Point number three, which I wasn't doing, which I didn't know anything about. Point number three, the seventh day is a day to assemble with others for worship. See, I didn't do that. I didn't know to do that. I didn't know where to go to do that. It took a year for that to finally come about in my life. God wants us to congregate and interact and involve ourselves with God's people on the days that He has made holy. And that blends itself in with point number four. Very similar point. Point number four, the seventh day is a day of fellowship with God's people. People of like mind. Again, it's very important that we engage and connect ourselves to each other, all who are part of the body of Christ. There's great value in coming before God. We assemble, but just because we assemble, we don't have to fellowship. So that's one component. I mean, we can assemble and hear a message and not talk to each other. But to fellowship, wow, see, that's a totally additional part that we gain from. You know, the Sabbath day is the day to discover each other, to encourage each other. How did your week go this past week? We won't know generally unless we interact with you and find out. We all have our ups and downs, and we need each other. And that's hard to say for some, that we need other people. But we do need each other as we journey towards God's kingdom. We need the boost that each of us can give each other. You know, without fellowship, without pressing ourselves to consider the needs of each other, we can become somewhat isolated and introverted and somewhat self-seeking, you know, kind of standing off over in a corner, all by yourself, just you and God. That's not God's way. You know. To do that, you lose opportunities to grow and to become righteous. You know, for us to interact with each other, we gain tremendous opportunities to become more righteous. Because when we see a need, then we can go and see if God prompts us to help in that need. If we have a need, then others can help us. So there's righteousness. There's growth opportunities by fellowship. Now, what are some scriptures that support these four principles and behaviors? We've already read Exodus chapter 20, and that covers two of them. So those four points now, can you remember them? It's a day not to work. It's a day to rest. It's a day to assemble on. It's a day of fellowship. And we perform these four, both physically and spiritually. If you do it mostly physically, you're not going to gain near as much. God's Spirit can help us spiritually perform these four principles. And to do them well, to really be successful, successful, we have to plan and ready ourselves and prepare ourselves before the Sabbath day begins. Yeah, there is some planning in each of those four that we can do. Now let's turn to a scripture, Leviticus chapter 23. We all know Leviticus 23. It very neatly summarizes all of God's holy days, and it also covers the weekly Sabbath. Verse 3, Leviticus 23:3, 6 days. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. So there's one right there. A holy convocation. That's two. Convocation, which can be translated a sacred assembly. You shall do no work on it. That's the third point. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So there, that one scripture covers three of those principles. That scripture presents the Sabbath as a day of having a holy conversation, a convocation, or assembly of ourselves. It's not a day for work. It's a day to rest. And in Hebrews chapter 10 now, a second scripture that we'll turn to. Hebrews chapter 10, we deal with the fourth item. Third and the fourth item of those principles. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Very, very well-known scripture. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the Sabbath is the day to assemble and to fellowship and to stir up love and good works toward one another. It's not a day to stay hidden away from the believers, from the body. But it's a day to be there, on site, wherever, to learn from others by interacting with them, giving and receiving. It's a day to exhort, to lift up each other as we anticipate the approaching return of Jesus Christ. When will that be? We don't know. We feel we're living in the last days, don't we? I mean, we're in perilous times. Every week there's something in the news that reinforces the time is short, but only God knows when His Son will return. So as we assemble, we also, learn from the messages that are given to us each week. But to go and forsake our assembling, and to refuse to be part of a holy convocation, it's not scriptural. I don't know how those who refuse to do so get around these scriptures. But basically, even in the Church of God, it seems people can find whatever they want to believe in Scripture. And they can point it up and say, see, that verse means this, so that's why I'm doing this. Now, earlier we mentioned Mark chapter 2 in verse 27. Very important principle there. I'll reread it again. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And he, Christ, said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, you and me, and not man for the Sabbath. Very, very important scripture. It helps to put things in context. Man has more value to God than the Sabbath day. Man is destined to become a full spirit child of God, a son of God. The Sabbath, though, is just a tool that helps us on that journey. It points us. It's a pathway to the glory of God, just as the other nine of the Ten Commandments are. See, God's law overall gives us a righteous pathway to follow. We don't worship, you know, the law. We don't worship the Sabbath. But we do obey the Sabbath and use it in our lives as a tool to become more Christ-like. You know, if we want salvation, that's our process. That's what Christians do. They use God's law to better themselves. Now, kind of as an aside, in the same context of Mark chapter 2, the Pharisees accused Christ's disciples of being lawbreakers on the Sabbath, since they were out picking heads of grain to eat from the fields on the Sabbath day. Now, somewhere in the narrow traditions and the writings of the Pharisees, they may have been guilty to that, but Christ and his disciples did not violate any Old Testament law. And I can demonstrate that. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23. And you may want to note this reference in Mark chapter 2, because this supports that what the disciples were doing in picking grain was not wrong whatsoever. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 24. Deuteronomy. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. Verse 25. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. So picking your neighbor's food by hand and then eating it was lawful. People had a right to do that if they were hungry. They couldn't store it up and sneak off, you know, with bags of it and so forth. They had to pick it by hand and eat it right there. And, of course, eating on the Sabbath was lawful. There's no law against eating food on the Sabbath. So, basically, the Pharisees, you know, they had a problem of jealousy and envy towards Christ. And they took every opportunity they could to discredit and accuse him when they could, when they saw some fraction, infraction of their law. But Christ and his disciples did not break God's law as written, given in the Old Testament there. Now let's go over to Colossians chapter 2, another interesting Sabbath scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "No, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths," plural, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Of course, this is a controversial scripture that the world stumbles at. But to us, we understand it. The physical Sabbath and holy days that we keep, you know, have purpose. They have meaning. The world does not see that meaning. They may get a little glimpse of it once in a while. They see a little glimpse of what Passover means. But most of the other holy days, they don't understand. But the holy days and the weekly Sabbath give us a foreshadowing of greater spiritual things to come. So we keep these days physically with a reminder that there's greater spiritual purpose ahead of us. You know, our final spiritual rest that awaits all of us who indeed honor God and show it by observing, you know, the Sabbath, can have God's Spirit be given them to understand these things. There's a spiritual rest out there that we're all striving towards. And basically it's called salvation. That's when we will have our final spiritual rest. So as we congregate on the Sabbath, we come to better learn the plan and purpose of God in our lives. You know, over the years, I mean, I started out not knowing how to keep the Sabbath. I was in bed all day. Well, I've grown up since then. I'm not quite that baby anymore, and all of us have grown up. And as we come to services, as we assemble, as we obey God, we learn more and more of His plan and purpose. We learn how to live and free ourselves from the clutches of sin. You know, sin is the enemy of us. How does sin get resolved in our life? One of the days of God, our special festival days of Passover, answers that. Christ forgives our past, that past sin. You know, we would be incomplete Christians if we refused to congregate and fellowship with each other. You know, at times we have to be careful and not sacrifice one of the four principles that I had mentioned earlier. Maybe sacrifice one so we can achieve more of another. An example would be that we make a decision that we just need some extra physical rest on the Sabbath, so we decide to stay home and forgo the principles of congregating and fellowshipping with others on the Sabbath. So we forgo two for one. Now, I'm not talking about those having a medical condition. You know, sometimes people struggle getting a good night's sleep, and they have something that they're trying to help themselves. They don't want to be that way. So I'm not talking about, you know, a medical condition. It's just that a decision that we make, and if you have God's Spirit, then you have to make, you know, your spiritual decisions of what you do in life on the Sabbath. But sometimes we can trade one for the other. I need more physical rest, so I'm going to give up it. Well, what if that day, that sacrifice turned out not to be a fair trade? Because the message given that day, the people that you failed to interact with that day, could have given a tremendous blessing in your life. You know, we all... You know, my solution for that example would be to go to bed early on Friday evening. Let's say, could you get in bed at 8 o'clock? And if you do, you've got basically 12 hours of sleep. And then you've got plenty of time to get to church. I mean, that's a solution, but I don't know if it's a solution that some want to entertain. You know, our spiritual rest, you know, there's physical rest and our spiritual rest. Our spiritual rest comes from being here on the Sabbath. Of course, when we're sick and we're contagious, and that's very different, that's a totally different subject, to show love toward others, then we better stay home. You see, we're not, so don't misunderstand me there. We need to respect and never discount the actual spiritual presence of God in our church services. Is God in spirit right here with us today? Are you acting as if God is here watching everything that is said and done? Is God here at Riverfield? You know, I think God has placed us, given us favor in the eyes of Riverfield. Now, someday we may lose that favor. And someday we may have to move on to another location. I mean, that happened to us at the VFW hall, remember? When we started meeting there, everything was great. But things changed over time. God will always provide a place for us. But God is here. And we need to realize that. And we need to act reverently in services. Because God is present with us. We need to respect how we come before God each week. You don't need to turn there, but in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. Leviticus 19, 30. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. You know, where we congregate each week is somewhat symbolic of a sanctuary. It's where God has placed His name. It's the best that we can do for right now. And we just need to be, you know, have that thought there that we're coming before God. This is not a social club. Let's honor God as we ready ourselves each Sabbath to come before Him. On time to participate in worship of Him. You know, it's good even to plan our fellowship. Do we know everyone who attends here locally? Do we know their name? Now, outside of senior moments, do we know everybody's name here? We all have senior moments. And have we all talked to each other? Is there anyone here you have never had a conversation with? Why not? We're all in the body together. Maybe we could just go look up the persons, go to our member directory, find someone that we haven't talked to very often, write that name down, and we prepare ourselves by saying, hey, I'm going to go talk to that person next week. Now let's quickly go through some of the thoughts of God concerning His Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Looks like I'm prepared a little bit too much for today. Isaiah 58, verse 13. This gives us the mind of God concerning His Sabbath. He says, verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, that is, pursuing our own mostly carnal interests on the Sabbath day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, God, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, which, what does that mean? Well, to me, it means basically not pursuing our own usual everyday life that we do on the other 6 days of the week. All of us could define that to some degree. Some of us may say it means this and that, but to mean, for 6 days, we basically go to and fro. We go our own ways. We do our own pleasure. We speak our own words. And we're all living within God's commandments. See, I'm not talking about bad behavior. I'm talking about Christian behavior. But there's Christian behavior during the week that we go our own ways, we do our own pleasure, we speak our own words, even in a Christian context. But on the Sabbath, it's a little different. Our focus should be different. Our ways, our pleasure, our words should be mostly spiritual. Mostly spiritual. Not 100%. It's okay to talk about weather a little bit. Talk about politics a little bit, What's going on in the world? Verse 14, then you shall delight yourself, which means find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God will grant us special favor as we submit ourselves to Him in holy worship on the Sabbath. And for sure, special favor in our spirit life to come. Physically, we may not ride on high hills, but spiritually, we will. When the time comes that we're changed over, we must live the Sabbath different than the other days of the week. Sabbath is God's way of bringing us together as one body and creating the opportunity of blessings in our lives. Someone that you talk to today on the Sabbath may begin praying for you for the very first time. We can be on both sides as we come here for fellowship. We can be on the receiving side, needing something in our life, needing to be uplifted and receive that. And then we can be on the giving side. We can find someone who needs something that we can give to them. How do you and I view the Sabbath in big principle? Is it a day that do we view the Sabbath as a day of spiritual freedom? Or do we view it as a day of physical restriction? We can't do this. We can't do that. Or is it a day that we say, I have the opportunity to do this or that spiritual thing? You see, how we look at it can make a big difference. Is our focus on God and service to Him and others? Or is it on what we just can't do? Well, I wish I could do this. And I'm not going to get into all those do's and don'ts, How much TV can I watch on the Sabbath and still be a good Christian? How much internet can I browse and still be a good Christian? How much of myself can I talk about on the Sabbath, and just allow all my words just flow? If you have God's Spirit, you judge yourselves on those things. And you will reap the consequences. Good or not so good. Sabbath grants us time to share our lives with each other. Opportunities that we may not have the other 6 days. Maybe the Sabbath is a good time to go visit someone that's not well. Maybe someone who's homebound, that can't get out much. Now, yeah. To do that, you've got to sacrifice something else, don't you? Maybe it's a time to go and renew some family relationships. It's a time to maybe discover more of God's will in our lives by having the time to read an extra chapter or two of God's Word. The person who calls the Sabbath a delight is the one who truly delights in the Lord. Our goal is to have a sincere joy in discussing the things of God. Can we carry on a spiritual conversation with others? Or is it always limited to something more physical apart from God? You know, if we have God's Spirit, we need to be able to eventually, as we mature as a Christian, to carry on spiritual conversations of our joy that we have being a part of God's body. There's great joy in being a Christian. You know, if we're part of the body of Christ, the Sabbath day should bring us together like a magnet. You know, a strong magnet. We shouldn't resist and think of ways of, you know, not being here. The Sabbath gives us opportunities. It gives us the opportunity to gather together after services, to be with a little group that you identify with, that you feel a part of, to extend the Sabbath day and fellowship just a little bit more. The Sabbath is a time, if the weather is good, that we can take a walk in the park and observe, you know, the wonder of nature, of God, that surrounds us. Over the last week and a half, I've been able to observe two little baby scissortail flycatchers out the door, out across the yard. First noticed them on the ground, kind of hopping around. And then I noticed Mom and Dad, you know, feeding them. And they now are flying themselves. And they like to perch up on the fence line and watch for insects and go and dive down. And it's a beautiful thing. God, you know, it's God's has created very simple things that can we can see His grandeur in. I hope they stay around. I see birds where we're at now that I didn't used to see when I was in town. But all of these things that we have opportunities to do, it takes some planning, doesn't it? It takes some preparation, a day or two or three before the Sabbath even. Good preparation gives us a richer life. Good preparation gives us a richer life, and that's probably a principle for all parts of our life. The Sabbath is a wonderful gift, and we should be very thankful for the time of peace that it brings to our lives. I won't go to Ezekiel chapter 20. I'm short on time here, already over a little bit. But in Ezekiel 20, it talks about God says, "My Sabbaths, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me." And the Sabbath is a sign. It's a marker between God and His people. You know, ancient Israel forsook God and holy time that He created for them. He gave it to them, as He's given it to us. But they abandoned it, you know. They abandoned His laws. And they paid the price. And they were driven into captivity, you know, by their enemies. Well, you know, today the body of Christ, God's people, God's church, it has its enemies too. And there are forces, spiritual forces at work, ready to go and ravish the church of God when the time comes. It may be one day very, very difficult for us to prepare for God's Sabbath day and to rest and to congregate on the seventh day. Today, it's very easy to do it. But there's a time coming that it may be very difficult and perilous to even think about preparing for a Sabbath day. Our enemies, mostly spiritual, may want to force us to work on the Sabbath day and not fellowship on that day. But rather, they may want us to honor what they call the Lord's Day. Sunday, the first day of the week. You know, 2 weeks ago, the current Pope, Pope Francis, made headlines in many newspapers by lamenting that far too many people have given up the traditional Christian practice, at least in his eyes, of not working on Sundays. And he commented that, yes, people do need jobs. But he said that all of this business of opening stores and businesses on Sundays was not good, was not benefiting society. And he said that people and families are experiencing ill effects, the negative impact of not resting on Sundays. So what does the future hold for those who truly love the Sabbath of God? You know, perilous times are ahead of us. Only God knows the exact when and how it will all play out. It will come at the appointed time. And we may all be tested in the future on how much we truly love the seventh day. Will the mark of the beast be connected to a certain day of worship in the week? You know, traditionally we have thought so. But God knows for sure. The book of Revelation describes a great end-time counterfeit religious system and beast that will dominate the world. Will that beast and false prophet trouble us because of our Sabbath keeping? Will they identify us because of our resting and not working on the Sabbath, because of congregating and fellowshipping on the Sabbath? Will that bring trouble on us by this end-time religious system? Again, God knows, but probably yes. From what we see in Scripture, probably yes. So will we be strong enough to continue to honor God in obeying Him? But all of that is a totally another sermon for another day. So I need to wind this down. In conclusion, let's remember to put some planning and preparation while we have time, while we can do it today, into each Sabbath day rest that comes to us. And let's remember that the physical Sabbaths we keep today foreshadow and point us to a greater future rest of spiritual salvation in God's kingdom. See, the Sabbath that we congregate on points us to something much greater than this physical. It has spiritual essence. You don't need to turn here. Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. Do we want rest? I think we do. I think we want peace and rest in our lives. So Let's make provision to enter the rest that Jesus Christ offers us. And to do that, in part, by preparing ourselves each week to delight ourselves in keeping God's holy Sabbath.